Cubo, become a local business sponsor of Chicanx vs. Aliens podcast. $75 gets you into the Fantasma level of membership. You get one mention, a sticker packet, one t-shirt. Yeah, $150. You become an occult member of the Chicanx vs. Aliens podcast. You get a sticker packet, a t-shirt, three mentions. $250, you become a fourth kind experiencer. A sticker packet, t-shirt, you get five mentions. And guess what? I'll even throw in a six pack so we can kick it and drink some beers and talk about the drama of your life. Beautiful. Anyway, become a local business sponsor of the Chicanx vs. Alien podcast. Yo, man, hit me up. Let's get down. Yo, yo, yo. Welcome to the Chicanx vs. Aliens podcast, episode 5. I am just mega grateful for being able to get to this level of podcastry. The barrio de podcast, like the way Coco Diaz says, welcome to Podcastville. This is the barrio de podcast. And I'm grateful that y'all have continued to listen. I'm so happy to the response of my last podcast, Chicanas. And the UFO phenomenon. Thank you so much for listening in. This episode is dedicated to just one interview that I actually did about dreams. Now, I was blessed to be able to be in this space. I was given the opportunity to go to Oakland, California and train at the Edible Schoolyard, at Edible Schoolyard on Instagram. And be able to learn how to teach kids how to cook food and grow food and then eat food on a level of, like, I did this all myself. It was pretty amazing. And man, just being a part of Oakland, San Francisco, like, the weather is amazing. Texas right now. In July, August, September, it's hot. We're experiencing up to 115 degrees heat index. It feels like 95, but it's actually 115 degrees. It's hot. It's hot, hot, hot. So anyway, when I was in Oakland, it was like 82, beautiful. So as I was experiencing this conference, and I was there and kicking it with people, learning people's names, I wore my podcast t-shirt. And if you guys don't own one, I'm about to throw a party, hopefully before the end of summer, to launch out the podcast and launch out the merch and launch out all kinds of things. But I want you guys to be a part of it. I will give you guys more information about it, but right now I'm just organizing it. Anyway, I was wearing the t-shirt and someone said, hey, I really want to talk to you about your podcast. I see that you have like a UFO, like abducting like a lowrider car. Like, what's up with that? And I said, oh yeah, you know, I got this podcast. I kind of went into it with them. And then she, you know, this woman was just like, well, you know, I wanted to just let you know I have dreams. So, boom, hold up. So I just want you guys to know that I also have dreams. Since I was, as a little kid, I used to have these things called night terrors. I would basically wake up in the middle of the night, 2:30, 3:30 in the morning. I would get up in my nightmares, walk around the house, even walk out the house, to the point that my parents had to like guide me. But I don't know if you guys know this, but when you have dreams and nightmares such as night terrors, you have to be very careful with waking up the people who have these dreams, because they say that you can open a door in their mind that they cannot close. So this is advice that my parents have gotten from curanderos, but this is also just general information that I've heard from other people. Dreamers, and I mean that in the sense of having dreams, sleep paralysis and night terrors is very much a real thing for people. Now, I've had night terrors up and sleep paralysis from when I was very, very young. And dreams have become a very important part of my life. There was a documentary on Netflix, I think it was called Nightmare, where they talked to people who had these similar sleep paralysis. But, you know, they talked about night terrors a little bit. But, you know, as a boy, me and both my brother had these night terrors. I've gotten to a point where when I have sleep paralysis, I'm able to push through. I also see the, and if you know sleep paralysis people, ask them this. There's two different types of figures. There's one, there's an old woman that sits on your chest, pushes you down. Two, there's also a dark, they're both dark shadows with red eyes. There's a dark shadow man who has a hat and a long trench coat, and he also will push down onto your chest whenever you're having these sleep paralysis dreams. I learned to push through these sleep paralysis dreams to be able to have dreams about living on other planets, dreams about living other lives, dreams about my past lives, dreams about being other people. And it's become such an amazing thing for me that I have such vivid dreams that, like, I have woken up after living 3 days on a whole other planet as a whole other person. So when I got to meet somebody else who was a quote unquote energy worker, not only that, they were from Egypt. Not only that, they had a whole other experience of life. It was amazing, and I had to take down the story. This woman was such a wonderful person because we both had the same thing in common. We worked in community. We worked as food workers. We worked as energy workers, and we both had the phenomenon of dreams and dreaming. So anyway, I can't wait to let you guys listen to this episode. It's going to be a quick and short episode. Chicanx vs. Aliens podcast, but I was grateful to be able to do this. She was so willing to tell me this story, and the conversation was amazing. I am learning to not shut down the conversation. I mean, in other words, I'm learning to not turn off my recorder so quick, because she told me things after I stopped the recording that were so amazing, and I didn't catch them because I turned off the recording. But she basically gave me the gist of her story, and then I turned it off, and then she said, oh, and this, and I'm just like, oh no, I didn't turn it back on. So anyway, this is what I caught, and this is the amazing story of who she is. Yo, check this out. Dream workers, energy workers, and such a beautiful night to release this episode. Episode 5, Chicanx vs. Aliens podcast. Check it out. Okay. Tell me your name, where you're from, and what you do.
My name is Zeyna, and I'm from Egypt. And I do many things. Currently, as like jobs, I teach at two different schools. I'm a gardening teacher, and I teach in Arabic. I teach gardening in Arabic, and I teach at the forest school. I also do art, an artist. And I teach energy work. Do things that are related to energy work.
Nice. And so, tell me a little bit about your experience. What are some of the things that you've been experiencing that you feel around energy work, around dreams, around projection? Maybe an experience that you might have had.
Okay. So ever since I was young, I saw extra things or felt extra things, and I thought everyone had the same abilities. But when I was vocal about it, people would look at me weird or be just, no, it's just your imagination, or totally negate it.
Right.
So it was a bit scary because I didn't know what to do with it, until I slowly started meeting people with similar abilities and trusting that it wasn't in my imagination. And later on, I felt like it's important for me to keep doing that to other people, to give them that space and permission to realize that it's real. and what they're feeling is real regardless of anybody's opinions. So some of the things that are very vivid to me are my dreams, and I believe that my dreams are, I have the ability to communicate with people and things in different dimensions. The term for it, some people call it mediumship. I'm very, very drawn to death, and I feel like it's a different side of life. It's a cycle. It's not an end to something, and it's feared more than it's respected, because it's not understood. And the relationship between the underworld or the other land or the other places have been forgotten, and I believe it's our responsibility to remember them. So one of the experiences that I have that links the imaginary quote-unquote world or my imagination to reality, like relaying the two worlds, is my uncle passed away almost 3.5 years ago. And I dreamt of him coming in a dream. I dreamt of him several times, but this dream was very, very vivid. And he told me to search for a tennis racket that was white and was hidden behind a certain object in an old farmhouse's warehouse. And I woke up, wrote the dream, and asked his brother when he would go to that farm, to go to that warehouse and look in that particular place for that tennis racket. And it was a wooden tennis racket from the 70s or something. I have never seen a real wooden tennis racket. And I just said that dream. A week later, the whole family, apparently he was talking about it, because they found that racket in exactly that spot. And so they slowly started trusting in what I was saying, because I would say, oh, my uncle is saying there's a fire that's going to happen in this particular place. I wouldn't know what time, it's not that specific, but a month passes and a fire happens in a certain place. So I had that with my uncle, I had that with my grandfather. I had experiences with people before they passed, knowing, having a feeling of this might happen, and not feeling sad about it, but it feels more like a release or freedom or completion. I had that before my uncle passed. A relative that had passed came to take him. I don't know how to describe it, but that person was in the room telling him, come on, let's go. I had that same feeling with my grandfather. I dreamt of him, and his best friend who had passed told him, calling him with a specific nickname, come on, let's go. And it's a beautifully free feeling. Nothing sad about it. Just the sad comes with the missing. The physical missing, but other than that, I would smell certain scents of them, knowing that they're there. And I would ask, are you here? And I would smell their favorite food, for example, or hear something specific.
Was there something that might have kicked it off when you were younger, that, or maybe something that you felt was the start? Do you remember any young dreams when you were maybe younger, or feelings when you were really, really young?
I think maybe the main thing that could have nourished it, not just triggered it, was living on a mango orchard, living in nature. So I spent all the year after the school day playing in nature, just climbing trees, playing with our dogs and animals and everything. And in the summer we'd spend almost 2 or 3 months on the Mediterranean doing nothing. We had no telephone, we had no television. It was just being connected with nature. We'd know how to tell the time by just noticing the sun. So I think probably that could have been it. And I totally believe that my family, my grandmother, her grandmother and all of that, had these abilities, but they were more afraid to tune into it than to trust. Because over the years, after I came out saying like I'm a witch or I believe in these things, not hiding, they slowly start saying these stories and their abilities too. I'm realizing, why were you hiding all of these things? Right. Like,
it's almost as if this is the work that it's because people don't, I guess you can say, can't have a handle on it in reality. People don't like to claim it. It feels silly. It feels embarrassing. But yeah, I feel like, you know, there are generations of people who might be telepaths or energy workers or spirit guides, or they see spirits. And like, for example, I'll just tell you one of my stories was that I was triggered when I first started, my great grandmother take her last breath. After that, I started to get called on to a lot of people taking the last breath and had experienced that more and more so. And I started to become more and more interested in death. And then I also even became interested in, what do they call those, death doulas? Have you ever heard of that before?
I was just going to tell you yeah. about that.
Yeah, and that I became so interested in all that that I wanted to even maybe take a turn in my career that way. But you know, the work is so much that like, it's, where's the time, right? So I kind of feel like recording these stories is where it's at for me. But yeah, I mean,
it's amazing. Like, you just mentioned this now, I had several people that asked me, have you ever considered that? And it's amazing because I am terrified of the other cycle. I'm terrified of birth. Not the other side.
Yeah,
I'm like, why do you want? And I keep questioning, why am I here? Like, why am I here? I want to go home. I keep having the feeling of wanting to go home, feeling homesick.
Yeah.
But not for a place. Or probably it's a state. And death doula is that word exactly that I was thinking of.
So we had talked a little earlier, and you had mentioned something about a djinn. Can you tell me that story again?
Okay. So
for us, we have like the trickster. Some people have demon spirits, right? Or we talk about demon spirits and that kind of thing. And we talk about a lot of more Christian cultures. We talk about like the devil and that kind of stuff. But I've noticed that in a lot of like Eastern, Middle Eastern, there's a lot of talk about the djinn, right? So what was that story that you were telling me a little earlier?
So that story happened about 7 years ago. I went to Morocco on a surfing trip with my brother, and Morocco and a lot of, like, I think all of the North African countries have a long tradition of magic, like magic and like dealing with spiritual or otherworldly creatures. And in the Muslim tradition, also in Islam, it is known that these creatures do exist. Like in the Quran, it is that there's a whole chapter or a surah or a thing called, it's even called Surah al-Jinn, and it talks about the existence of these beings. So I was in Morocco and my brother, I was sharing a room, and I had this dream. I usually have the encounters are usually in dreams, thankfully. Right. Thankfully, there is another encounter that unluckily wasn't a dream, but that dream, I was dreaming about walking into a garden in Egypt and noticing a branch on a tree shaking. And a friend of mine was with me, and she just notices the branch shaking, and she thinks it's some wind. And I like warn her and tell her, just like distract her, tell her go do something and I'll be there, knowing that there's something that I have to deal with in that place. So I go closer to that branch and I notice there are some almost like monkeys jumping on that branch, two of them. And I am called to clap. So like to just shoo birds or something. And I clap and they jump off the branch. And as soon as they jump off, as I'm blinking in the dream, they turn into another animal. And it's almost as if I don't notice that they turn into another animal. I clap again. And when I clap, this clapping vibration disturbs their shape-shifting. And at one point, instead of becoming another animal, like a horse or something, they get stuck in the shifting. So it's a horse, but with a duck face. And then they come closer and they're like not very friendly. But I'm not afraid of them. And I am called to say Allahu Akbar, which is God is great. And as soon as I say that, they turn into their original form. Like they're creatures with really sharp teeth and just almost cartoony, demon-like cartoony, but like not scary, just not friendly either. And so I am called to say that word again. And that word hurts them or bothers them some way. It's stinging them. They start like gnarling or hissing. I think it was hissing. And they come closer. I want to say it's almost like they're like cats. Like really not nice. So I say it one more time. And as they're almost about to pounce on me or jump on me, I yell it out really loud. And at that exact moment, I wake myself up saying it like Allah Akbar, like yelling the word out and sitting up in bed, like sweating, like super wet and being like, okay, that was there. I was there. It was definitely traveling out of my body and it was so intense that my like spirit or soul just pushed my physical body up to react to that.
Yeah, I've had similar dreams where, you know, and I remember one time I had a dream that somebody was giving me money, and I was just like, wow, look at this money! Like I can't believe like finally I'm gonna like be relieved of like stuff that I'm gonna deal with. Like I don't have to worry about it so much. And they said here, and they put it in my hand, and I woke up and I had my hand like in the shape that I was still, and I was like I was awake. And I remember like in that same kind of like week or so, I was hearing numbers, and I was hearing names, and so I was thinking like something's telling me something, but like. You know, in true Joaquin Muerte fashion, I didn't write anything down. I didn't do anything. I didn't move in on any of it. But I talked to a couple of dream workers and spirit workers, and they were telling me, you need to write that stuff down. Put that stuff down on paper. But anyway, I really do appreciate your time.
Thank you so much.
And I'm so glad that I met you.
Me too.
I'll introduce you a little bit before I put the segment on. But yeah, thank you so much.
Thank you. Thank you.
Nice to meet you. I am so grateful for that interview, but why? As a person who has been a vivid dreamer for years, coming from night terrors as a child, sleep paralysis as a teen and an adult, dreaming about predictions, hearing numbers, names, all kinds of experiences. Dreams have been something that have dominated my existence in my life, and so I was grateful to hear her stories. We spoke a lot more about dreams, but I once again I am learning how to not turn off my recorder. She herself had a UFO abduction story. She herself had ghosts and phenomenon stories, spiritualities. Being a person from Egypt, she had tons of experiences with other Egyptian folks that were in her existence, but also learning and talking with people from California. She also had tons of experiences with people from California. I am so grateful to be able to have met people like her, especially in just a random walk of life, which is attending the Edible Schoolyard, where I was allowed to have my merch placed on a table, and I had the Chicanx vs. Aliens podcast t-shirt as part of my merch, which opened up tons of conversations of people who were who had UFO and ghost and paranormal experiences. But I was able to catch this story with Zaina, because she was way more willing to talk about it,
But also, she gave me a ride, like, one day when we traveled from Berkeley to West Oakland, and which is about a good 25 minute drive. But she was super nice, and she hooked us up with the ride. But it's so awesome to know that you're not alone when you have these dreams, and you have, and your dreams are heavily experienced. Let me just say, one time I was having this dream that I was flying above a landscape. My flight above this landscape was beautiful. And I could see the park and the grass. It was like dry grass. And I could see the swing set in the park and the different levels, stairs and steps, and how it would go down and go up. And I used to see this dream when I was a kid. When I grew up, I went to go do some like record digging in Eagle Pass, Texas. And I was also visiting a very close friend of mine who is also a very well-known energy worker, and her family in Piedras Negras. And while I was on my way to Eagle Pass, Texas, I was by myself. I was driving a little truck, and I went to Eagle Pass, Texas. And when I got there, I decided to take, you know, the Google Maps took me through a certain way, and I saw the park that I saw in my dream. I was amazed that I could see the park, and I recognized all its features in my dream that I had flown above it. Now, let me just say, yes, I had visited Eagle Pass as a child, but I had never been to that park. So to experience Eagle Pass, that park in a dream, and then visit it as an adult, and just basically have just the most amazing deja vu ever. And then I went into like Piedras Negras and visited this friend and this family, and it was like even just visiting them was magical. Piedras Negras is huge, and Acuña is huge, and so, you know, the northern Mexico area is pretty amazing. The border is amazing. Growing up in the border has been a pretty magical experience. Anyway, I've had tons of dreams, and dreams come all the time. And even just probably as having this discussion right now in the podcast, I'm probably going to like have heavy dreams. So anyway, if you're a heavy dreamer, I would love to hear your story. If you're a sleep paralysis person, I would love to talk to you. Hit me up. You could look me on IG at Joaquin Muerte. Facebook at Joaquin Muerte. You can also just email me at joaquin.muerte@gmail.com. If you hashtag anything, hashtag ChicaNex versus Aliens Podcast, you'll definitely see some of the posts that I posted. ChicaNex versus Aliens Podcast, all spelled out, or you can say ChicaNex vs Aliens Podcast. Thank you guys for listening, and thanks for being a part of this whole this endeavor with me becoming a podcaster, buying the t-shirts, the sticker packets, and becoming a sponsor. I can't wait to get this on a bigger scale. Thank you so much. Orale, ChicaNex vs. Aliens Podcast. Thank you for your support. Peace.